like on this broadcast. I don't know if were you watching Washington or Tampa at all.
No, we were watching some regular television. Well, Netflix television before before starting this here podcast.
Yeah, so I think it's Ray Ferraro is doing color. And they were talking about, like, what they're going to do with Tampa Bay, and, like, if they should follow the Pittsburgh model. Like, signing Malkin and Letang. Then he's got some, like, older 35-year-olds you don't know what to do with. And I was like, Tampa's 30 and 22. It's not like they're terrible. Like, because they were talking about letting Stamkos. Do you let Stamkos go? Trade him or whatever?
Yeah, well, he's the hard one just because he is in that Malkin Crosby age range where I don't know. Crosby might be able to extend things past what? I think his contract only runs through next year. I want to say the 2020 after the end of the 2025 season, well, 24-25 season. I think it's up. Yeah, I mean, I guess with Crosby, you say yes, but oh my gosh. Whatever Malkin's contract runs out, like that, yep, I think that we just need to call it a day.
Well, he may call it a day too, though.
Yeah.
He's always been beat up. Like, that's not, I'm not, like, saying that. Well, it is the negative, obviously, but, you know, he ain't small, so he's always a target, basically. So,
and I mean, I don't know if he was necessarily injury prone, but he definitely did have a handful of major injuries that I'm sure does not help anyone in their athletic endeavors at that level.
No. And it's funny to say at that age, even though I'm far older than he is.
So. Well, yeah, I mean, but again, that's why I mentioned that level. Like, I mean, whatever, like, he would treat everyone like a pinata at a, you know, at a beer league game. Still at this point. But when you're playing in the NHL, it's just a whole different ball of wax.
Yeah. Well, I just like the Wings. I mean, it's after the All-Star break, so, like, it's all right, now it's time to heat up. And then, especially the trade deadline coming up, too. Like, they were talking about all this stuff, and I'm like, calm down. You got till the middle of April still. Like, you can't be – if you're within, like – because the Wings hold the final wild card spot right now.
Oh, yeah.
But that's only 4 points separating them from the next team. So, can't remember who it is. So, it's like, not all hope's lost. And you know how hockey goes. A team all of a sudden, like, especially after a trade deadline, can get hot as hell.
You know, the funny thing is, though, that usually by this point, you can change positions, but there aren't a lot of people that actually sneak into the playoffs, strangely enough, because that's one of those stats that people have, like, kept on bringing up. It's, you rarely lose your spot after Thanksgiving if you're in a playoff spot.
Really?
Yeah.
Why does it always seem the opposite? You know what I mean? It's like all of a sudden some teams, like, where the hell did you come from?
There's a lot of jockeying for, you know, where you are in the conference.
Yeah.
But people getting in is more rare than you'd think. Because I was just like, that's kind of, like, especially that early since it's only, like, 2 months into the season. It's like, how is it that easy of a prediction at that point? Because I want to say that it's like a 80% retention or something like that, or 85% chance that you get into the playoffs.
Jesus.
Yeah, it's pretty high. Like, if you're in a playoff spot by Thanksgiving, I believe it's Thanksgiving, like, your chances of getting in are very high. Because that's it. I guess they were, the one hockey podcast I was listening to was joking about the fact that the Flyers have played terribly like the last month, but because their front half was so good, they're still in a playoff spot.
That's what, like, I guess, yeah, the NBA is not like that, I guess. I don't know. Oh, the NBA I don't really follow, so I can't say that.
Yeah, I do not have any inkling of knowledge about that, really.
I think they have some sort of play-in game, I think.
Yeah, well, their playoffs are set up different now with the because they have like a play-in couple of series where like more teams have been allowed in, but they kind of play these knockout games.
That's what it's called.
I believe other teams get passes. Depend, you know, if they're higher in the standings, but the teams lower in the standings have to play it out a bit. And their system's just different now, and I don't really know enough about it to really say one thing or the other about it. But I know that they've been doing it for like 3 years or something like that now.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's how out of touch I am with it all. Like, I know they had their All-Star game. And they scored, like, didn't some team score over 200 points in the All-Star game?
Oh, I don't.
Like, holy shit.
I just saw people complaining again about the All-Star games being broken. And, I just don't. Either they weren't as good as we thought they were, which is conceivable. When we were younger, or, you know, it's just the way that things are now. And there's just not a whole lot to get all that wound up about, honestly.
Well, baseball, they always seem to be closer. And then there's always like the infamous, like Pete Rose barreling over the catcher one. But the way baseball's played now, like you can't really have a true All-Star game. Just from the pitching aspect, because they're like regular, they're not going to let some guy. They used to let him pitch longer, but they don't let a guy pitch more than I think two innings, an inning, whatever else.
I think it's usually two innings for a starter, yeah. But they also have like enough people on the bench that it's like not that big a deal either.
Yeah, well, I mean that one year they ran out of pitchers, but I think they extended it though. Like baseball, at least made it to be. Which is stupid. Whoever wins is the home team for the playoff for the World Series. Well, that's just dumb.
Well, I think that they did away with that a while.
Did they? All right.
Somewhat recently, but it was. Baseball does seem more competitive for whatever reason. I know that because I really did go to the worst at NHL. All-Star game that was here in Columbus. Because you could tell no one gave a shit.
Yeah.
There were just a poop ton of goals, but it wasn't like spectacular goals, like, oh, I can't believe they're doing that. You could just tell people were being lazy on defense and hanging the goalie out to dry. And, you know, it just wasn't fun.
I always thought hockey was the worst one because you'd be getting scores of like 14 to 13. And it was like, all right, this isn't an accurate representation of this at all. And then football, they were like, we don't want to do this. Like, this is at the end of the season. No.
I am not that I've watched it or anything, but them going to a flag football game, I'm like, yeah, that makes way more sense, guys.
Yeah. Isn't it called like the Pro Bowl like competition now or something?
It does seem like they're going back to that. Like, that's something that I did love as a child that I don't really watch now. Because they were showing like a longest throw competition that had it was an old one with Brett Favre, and the one that stuck out to me was Cordell Stewart was there.
Oh wow, those awful sweaters!
is the Steelers representative? Because what I think it was Drew Bledsoe, so it was pre Tom Brady when this one was going on.
Jesus.
But they do have all kinds of competitions. Like, I always thought that those things were fun to see, like, You know, it's like it's just one of those you get to see how ridiculous their skills are, how
Yeah.
physically talented these people are.
Yeah, and then who else? Then we have the NBA one. The NBA one always seemed kind of competitive, and then it
Oh.
wasn't. But I think there was just, well, part of the problem is I don't follow today, so it doesn't really matter.
Oh,
But like
yeah.
back then, it was like, oh my God, you're seeing all these guys, and then yeah, it did become like, all right, higher scoring, less defense. But I saw some highlights of like this last one. There's no defense. I mean, the guy just ran down. The guys just like watched him as he put a layup in, and it's like, this is stupid, and especially because those prices for the tickets can't be cheap. And like, I guess you kind of know, or you should go into it knowing, but still.
And I think that's the problem that I do think that hockey's kind of done a decent enough job to try and mix it up so that it's not that stale, like either the 3-on-3 teams that they've done and some other stuff. It makes it a little more fun because you almost have to, well, there's almost no defense because there's so much free ice anyway.
Yeah.
So that does help.
You don't want to be playing defense anyway. Like
Yeah.
there's no defensive only defenseman playing in the All-Star game, you know?
Yeah.
For the
So that
most
kind of
part.
helps too. Like I feel like they put him in a more advantageous area to, at least not completely loaf around.
Yeah, true. True.
But yeah, it still is like there's a lot of room to operate in a lot of, 3-on-2, 3-on-2s and stuff like that where it just yeah, it generates a little bit more. Like is it ever going to be great? No. Like and I think the NBA is in kind of a similar spot where it's just like I'm sorry guys, like it's just is not going to be great. Like it's just the way and I don't blame them. It's just like I'm not getting paid for this, really. Like, what
I
am
guess
I?
if you get a bonus, I don't know. You know, like that
Yeah.
money would do it, but it's like, all right, you're not really like.
Yeah, and I mean, even the owners at this point are like, yeah, that kind of makes sense to not waste my investment on something that doesn't count towards winning a championship.
Exactly. And
You
it's like, you know,
know, like
no one
that.
gets hurt. Well, no one will get
Yeah.
hurt if you didn't do it. So, yeah.
Yeah. So I guess I just really don't think that there's a good solution. 'Cause, and I think that's one of the reasons why baseball is just like, unless you pull a Pete Rose, which is, a pretty old reference to be pulling out
Right.
anyway, I don't know if they've had a controversy like that in a long time. So, like, if you're trying at all as a pitcher, I get like it's hard to fake being a pitcher.
I think, all right, I don't want to say it's harder to fake, but I know what you mean, but that's what I was going to tag on that.
Right.
It's harder, like, baseball's like the purer one to where it's still, you don't want to get shown up by a pitcher. So, and if you're a
Oh.
pitcher, you don't want to get shown up by the batter, right?
Oh, right.
So, like, there's still the famous one of Bo Jackson starting the game off with a home run. And then his next at bat, another home run. Like, yeah, because you are playing the best. You're supposed to be playing the best of the best.
Oh,
You know,
right.
so you get that. But like in the NBA, well, you're well. Also, the All-Star game for baseball also was a little tainted now because you play everybody. It's not the old days where
Oh.
you didn't get Bo Jackson versus Nolan Ryan. I don't know. I'm sure they did anyways, but you know what I mean? Like,
Yeah. There's no AL versus NL during the regular
no.
season, so you did get to see matchups that you didn't typically get to see.
Yeah, and it was awesome. Like Randy Johnson and John Kruk, that whole goofy thing.
Oh. Yeah.
Now they probably would have faced each other, so it wouldn't have been a big deal. But at the time, it was like, oh wow, you know, Mariners
Yeah.
badass Randy Johnson versus Philadelphia John Kruk. Like, yeah. I think he was still Seattle. It may have been New York.
Yeah, but. And I mean, I think maybe I don't know how much that's changed, just that aspect in all of the sports. You know, because I mean, there's more East-West in hockey these days. You know, there's just a lot of crossover in all the sports. And, you know, to me, unless you go back to like there's only conference play, and that's not happening because it's not going to make the money.
Yeah.
You know, like, I guess I just don't feel like there's really an answer to the situation. Like, it is what it is now.
Yeah. And they're not going to get rid of it.
No.
I guess the NFL kind of has, but they've made it like a whole thing. Because it also takes place before the playoffs, too, which is
a
smarter way of doing it.
Yeah, they give it that week in between the conference championships and the Super Bowl. Yep. Yeah, that's a better spot for it. The week after the Super Bowl, no one cares.
No, football's over. I don't give a shit about this United Football League either. Like, no offense to those guys, but it's like, nah, we're just waiting for the draft now. So,
yeah, I mean, good for them if it helps them get an NFL gig. But I'm in the same boat. Like, nah, guys, I watch enough football. Thanks.
Yeah, I mean, and they've been pushing like CFL on ESPN. Ain't no one watching that bullshit.
I guess Canadians still watch that.
Okay, do they? I don't know. I don't know anything about it. Except it's still a little bit different.
Again, this falls under my. There's no way it exists if it's not making money, so someone must watch. Is the root of my. I'm not sure how many people watch, but
I mean, the WNBA doesn't make money. It's all subsidized by the NBA. Like, and then what's there's another league that barely makes money. I guess it does, but barely. I can't remember what it is. So it's like, all right. But yeah, I mean, it's not our football. I mean, it's different. So it's all right, you're right, though. It's got to be making some money. It won't be around.
Well, I mean, it is kind of that's kind of funny that they're pushing it just because I felt like it kind of had a heyday there for a minute and really just whatever. Nothing's like, I don't feel like it's ever gotten any more or less traction. Like, it still exists, but. I guess I don't feel like I heard about it as much. You know, you don't have Doug Flutie playing there.
No. But,
Ishmael, I believe, played for the... Didn't he play for the Toronto Argonauts at some point?
Maybe? Maybe?
I believe he did at some juncture,
Well, speaking of things I didn't know existed... So I found on YouTube, it's called Legado TV. It's Mexican. It's got a AAA banner in the background, but I don't recognize any of these women. And it's like, how do I say this? Like, it's filmed with the people on the outside of the ring. There's no hard cam. It's just the guy with his camera. It's the weirdest thing. You've got so much of the roof in here, and then butts everywhere. And it's like, okay, it's just weird. And I've never heard of this until today. It's kind of cool. It's in like a little bar thing. And, like, there are legitimately people sitting on the edge of the balcony watching. So, like, the presentation to me, yeah, I like this dirtier, like, less produced stuff. It's what this is. Now, I haven't mentioned the action at all. So there's that. I subscribed to it. I'll give it a try. Why not? I'll add it to the other 40,000 hours of wrestling I've been watching lately.
Oh, yeah. I've had a good laugh at Chris. He's like, I don't know how you two idiots watch extra wrestling. And I'm like, well, I don't know.
I work from home. That's why. I get bored with TV. Like, I finished Justified. Very good. It took a little bit for me to get used to it. Right. And that show got really good. Well, go figure. Justified's really good. And then it ends on a cliffhanger, which I was hoping they wouldn't do. Because there's no guarantee of another season.
Oh. And
it's like, God damn
it. Yeah, I mean, doesn't... Because this one based off of the books also, or is this a fresh?
Yeah, it's I can't remember which one it is.
Because is it an, it's an part of the Elmore Leonard series? I believe that's the writer's name.
No, it's God damn it! I just lost it. It's not. I don't believe it's Elmore Leonard. Cormac McCarthy.
Yeah. Is that it? Elmore Leonard. Right. Yep.
I don't know why I had Cormac McCarthy on the brain. So, whatever. But it is based off of two different books, I guess.
Okay.
And I'm wondering if, like, based off of is because of the first – whatever first novel with Raylan in it. So, but yeah, it's very good. It's worth – it goes by fast, too. So, but – yeah, no, I've been watching far too much wrestling because MLW's back on YouTube. I watched, like, Jacob Fatu's last match, supposed last match there. That show's just too up and down, like, quality-wise. So,
yeah, that's one that I think I have them on YouTube but haven't checked in on them and have not checked in on AAA here recently either.
Yeah, AAA's back, so I was watching that the other night. And it's just... It always comes off as insulting because the people there seem to be into it, right? Like you said, we'd be not making money. But some of it just, like... I think part of it's just my non-nostalgia. Like, I don't want nostalgia. So I don't want to see Happy Vampiro walking down the stage and, like, clapping to, like, everyone clapping at him. And he'd be like, oh, thank you. And just looking like a regular dude.
Oh.
I don't want that. I don't want to see poor old Conan. I want to see cool Conan with the rag and then the cool catchphrase, all this stuff. I don't want to see old man Conan trying to be a tough guy. It's stupid. And then they get beat up. And it's like, oh, man, they're beating up on, like, old-ass Vampiro and Conan. And then they don't even sell it. And it's like, God. And I don't know what's going on because they refuse to put subtitles on the goddamn show.
Still no subtitles. Well, it kills me that the only subtitles are in Spanish.
This show, this Legado TV, I don't think this is – I didn't even check. I don't believe there's subtitles on this. Actually, yeah, there's no announcers, so...
Wow. Well, that's a bold move, Cotton.
I need to see what this is, but it almost seems like bootleg or whatever, but anyways. Yeah, so I've added AAA back in, and there have been some good matches in there. You know, I usually kind of goof on stuff, but, like...
Yeah, I mean, when I watched that, I know the main thing that I came away, I'm like, oh, I kind of understand where people in AEW get their... That's it, where they get more of their wrestling philosophy stuff. Because I see a lot of the same bad habits of, like, oh, this is a tag match. But, you know, like, everyone's wrestling at the same time. So, okay, sure.
Yep.
So, like, stuff like that, I do feel like I noticed out of AAA that's just like, oh, okay, well.
Yeah, I don't know what to make of AEW half the time anymore. And it's not like it's bad. Well, some is, which we have to be honest about. Some was just bad. I don't care if I've never stepped foot in a ring before. I know bad when I see it. Just like I've never – well, I have been in movies, so I'm allowed to say that. I have studied movies, so yeah, I'm allowed to. But
oh, I hate that. Like, there's a time where I'm like, have I ever heard a wrestler just go, yeah, I fucked up?
Pretty
You
nice, huh?
know, like, it's just like one of those. I've unfortunately, during my day job, got to admit that occasionally something went awry and that I need to rectify this problem. As long as I rectify said problem, everything is fine.
Yeah.
Like with the wrestlers, sometimes I'm like, God damn, man, can you just say that you were in the wrong here?
Yeah.
Like, or like, I'm just sitting there going, are you throwing Deonna Purrazzo under the bus?
Okay, so we're obviously talking about Madison Rayne, like slow motion Madison Rayne. Like I'm sorry, I wanted to watch that match back again, but why would I do that to myself?
Oh, why would
So
you do that to yourself?
I don't know if she got hurt or her bell rung early in the match or something. But dude, I'm glad you agreed. Because, you know, I can be a little short-sighted and just fly off the handle. And then you're like, well, no, look at it again. It's not that bad. I'm like, ah, yeah, you're right. No. I mean, this was slow motion. One person did slow motion, and the other person doesn't know what's going on.
Yeah, and that's it. It's one of those, she said, oh, I'm fine. And I'm like, I thought that you were fine until like maybe the end of the match. Like, that's the only time I thought that there was a possible injury, I guess.
See, I Madison Rayne is not a bad wrestler. That
No.
so that's a all right. So then it's one of two things. She had a bad performance, which she can just own up to. And it's embarrassing to have bad performances in front of 800,000 TVs, you know?
Yeah, especially in your
So
first match back after quite a while off.
yeah, and then or you got hurt earlier in the match, definitely at the end. I mean, that's like LA Knight's move, except for real, you know, a reversal, but whatever.
Right.
So it's like, it's not an attack on you. It's a very fair, valid criticism of what we had to endure. And, you know, the AEW women's matches and division gets built up, and stuff like this happens, and it's like, oh boy, here we go again. It's just come out and say, yep, gotta do better next time. There's nothing wrong with that. That's
No.
anybody.
No. That was something of I fucked up instead of people chanting you fucked up at you, like, would to me go a really long way. 'Cause yeah, that part was just a bomb. And honestly, I had a good laugh at everyone when I popped onto Twitter just prior to that, since it was when Deonna Purrazzo was on her way to the ring. The number of people just completely amazed at the side-by-side Keller and black and white shot. And I'm like, have you seen a fucking television before? Like, maybe this is the guy who literally had a black and white TV growing up. That is just like, yeah, this trick's been around for a long time here, guys. I like the shot. It's fun to do stuff like that with Toni Storm's character. But I mean, I made the joke on the X that I'm like, people not seen The Wizard of Oz? Like, am I fucking crazy here?
Yeah, and well, it's like the black and white stuff's fine. Here's the thing, though: are you expecting like a highly produced AEW show? And I know with technology, it's probably not that hard, but they can't get most of their stuff right when it comes to camera shots, productions, being in time, all that. And they're actually pulling off something slick with the black and white and color.
Oh.
And it's like, oh my God, this is amazing. Where WWE has 3D fucking chinchillas running around this ring. And you're like, what the hell's going on here? And then you turn over to AEW, like, oh, they split the screen in two different formats. Like, okay. Did you not hear what I just let off with? Go to the other one. Like, AEW is never, never going to perform on par with WWE's production. Because WWE is giving you stuff you don't know you want until it's not there. And you're like, hey, what happened to Matt Riddle's Flying Birds? Like, wait a second. I didn't like that at first, but now it's gone.
Yeah.
But, like...
Yeah, that match was definitely part of the bad AEW this week.
It really was.
Because even... Honestly, that whole thing is a little bit strange, to be quite frank with you. Because Deonna Purrazzo's character is a heel.
Yes. She calls herself the Virtuosa, which isn't a real word, apparently. But it just sounds bitchy.
And good. She is always waving people off, and I'm like, we've got two heels fighting here, but we're kind of cheering one, but we should really be booing her too?
But is Toni Storm a bad guy? If so, why?
Because she lost her mind, I guess?
And became, for the first time, interesting? Like, it just seems reversed. And it's like, it's really reversed because Deonna Purrazzo has been in this league for 4 weeks. So, and she, I'm going to work my way to the top. Here she has a title. She has a title opportunity on next weekend? Yeah, next weekend.
Yeah, it's next weekend.
Yeah. So how the hell you work your way up?
She's beaten a lot of people on TV. It's mostly been on Rampage and or Collision.
Okay, all right, thank you. She's beat a lot of people on TV. And I started going over, like, well, who's she really beaten? Well, not Chris Statlander, who's...
And she has occasional segments with Stokely and Willow Nightingale.
I was about to go off on the whole falling star thing, but we can save that for the Wardlow stuff. So
falling star.
Every single time. All right, there's not much more to say about that, so fuck it. Every time someone's hot in this company.
Oh.
You just yank them straight down. Wardlow, last night, which I'm filming, we're recording this Thursday. That's the best he's ever done in anything he's ever done in this company. And the thing is, he's like, in for reality, he's telling the truth. He runs over everybody. And yet, he's playing the silent big man in a faction that's just like, eh.
I asked that question. I'm like, what? Why is this guy in a group? Why? Like, I guess, was that his best work? Yes.
Yeah.
I guess I already thought that the guy could talk, though. So, like, I didn't have a problem with that. I like the way, like, honestly, like, he's one of those big men where I'm like, yeah, just kill people. And I think he stopped doing some of the high spot type stuff, and he's just murked people. And I'm like, yeah, that's what you need to do. Like, you're at least 6 inches taller than everyone else in this company.
Yes.
Like, just maul people.
Yeah, and that's all he used to do. People got behind him. Then they put him in the ring with other maulers, Joe and Will Hobbs. Hell yes. And then that's it. Then he comes back saying how he wants to beat up MJF. Rightfully so, by the way.
Oh, yep.
And then nothing comes of it, except he's just a guy in a mask. And, like, they never do this, but what he should do at the pay-per-view is beat the bejesus out of everybody in that faction.
No.
And be like, I don't need any of you. Like, Roderick Strong, win or lose, whatever, beats his ass, beats Taven, beats Bennett. And at least it gives them some like smaller people to beat the hell out of, because that's what Taven and Bennett are there to be have done to him. Same with Roderick. And then Cole can be like, what's your problem? I was supporting you. And have a fight with them. At least it's something.
But the less time he is with them, it's the better for him.
Yeah. But what the good thing that came out of this is the falling star part. Hopefully they yanked him back up.
Yeah. Oh.
Like, we talk about it every week. Like, and Statlander's definitely one of them. Beats Jade. Loses the title out of the blue, and now she's in a comedy act. Like, what's going on? How do you not keep that momentum? But they don't know how to, which is always a problem. They have no idea how to do it.
Yeah, they have not done a great job, because even I feel like Orange Cassidy is just finally getting some momentum back, since he's kind of tied up in this whole Roderick Strong thing too.
Yeah, well, that's going to come to an end when Roderick beats him on Sunday on the pay-per-view. And then Orange will just be off somewhere else again. You know, like, I'm being overly negative only because of the history of it.
Oh, right.
You know? So, like, I'm trying not to, like, beat the same points we always do, but it's like, damn, what do we got to do for, like, them, for somebody to wake up? Like, remember how over FTR used to be?
That was one where it was another one where I'm sitting there watching that opening match with them and Blackpool Combat Club, and I'm like, yep, it's already starting. The wrestling part of this company is not the problem.
No.
Like, well, okay. That's definitely a drumbeat that we have kept going for a long time. But yeah, I guess they've kind of popped up a little bit more again recently, but they have so many weird alliances that sometimes I don't know what up from down is.
I don't know what you're talking about.
The
Bang Bang Caesar Gang thing works just, I mean, that's just perfect.
No, but FTR is with Daniel Garcia sometimes. They're not with him sometimes now.
I know. It's just, what the fuck ever. It is like, hey, what do you want to do? They've got like one of those little old, like, remember those, what are they called, creepy crawlies? You throw them at the wall and it would like fall down the wall, or was it an octopus? And that's basically what they do, and it just sticks different wrestlers as it goes down. And they're like, hey, here we go. Like, weird alliances. Why does Jake Hager just show up to help Orange Cassidy?
Yeah, that was that one. I'm like, I guess you need it. I don't know how injured Chuck Taylor, Trent Beretta, and who else is normally in that group? Is that it now?
Chuck Taylor. Well, what's her name? Stalliner was. What's his name? Danhausen. He was, wherever he is.
Yeah, I don't know where he is. I know he's on the independents, at least.
I think he was a big CM. This is my own theory. He was and is a big CM Punk guy, and you can't convince me that that's not part of it. Like, there's still a blind, like, annoyance with anybody who supported CM Punk in there. So.
Maybe.
But.
Yeah, but he hasn't really been on TV. Rocky Romero is who I'm thinking of.
That's it, yes.
Because
Rocky Romero is suddenly everywhere now.
That man does seem to be everywhere. So yeah, he was the one that I guess I was thinking of, is just because he'd been a fourth a lot recently, that he was the one that I really had in mind. So, yeah, like, but I mean, I don't think Rocky's a full-time, you know, wrestler at this point. Even though he obviously makes in-ring appearances and wrestles. But yeah, so yeah, if you didn't have anyone to save Orange Cassidy, I guess there are worse people. Like it was kind of funny. I'm like, they kind of look alike. You could do something with this if you want to. You know, like Jake Hager's just like, you know, the 6'5" version of Orange Cassidy.
Guess. I really thought threw me for that one. Like, wait, what?
When he picked him up, I'm like, huh? Like, it wasn't something that I had in mind, you know, prior to that. But I'm like, these two guys kind of look alike. Like, you could get like some weird brother thing out of this if you wanted to.
Yeah, let's not go with any other ideas. Like, it's not. Yeah. Jake Hager was part of, like, the Jericho appreciation thing, right? And then disappears and
Yeah.
shows up to help Orange Cassidy. That's what I'm fucking stuck on.
Yeah.
It makes no sense.
Yeah, that part is a little, not a little weird. It's a lot weird that he was kind of in the he was worried about his bucket hat the last
Yeah.
time we saw him. But he did say that he was kind of done with everyone in the Jericho Appreciation Society, so I guess there's some type of continuity going on there. He was fed up with those clowns. Although they're not clowns anymore, for the most part.
Yeah, they're all clowns.
Well, they're trying to turn Matt Menard into an announcer
For some reason.
for reasons.
And then, who's a cool hand is busy trying to date Ruby Soho.
Well, actually did go on a date this week, so
Okay,
not trying anymore.
I got a kick out of it. Okay, so two things. One was pointed out that girls with tattoos like that, wearing a print dress just kind of makes her look messy. You know, you got like the ink all over it, and you got like the black splotches. You're like. So in my fashion, because I am a fashionista, that she would have been better with just a solid color. So, so anyways, but I did get a
Yeah,
kick out of the
she
line.
doesn't strike me as a solid Keller woman.
No, not really. But I did get a kick out of her going, "Oh, is that our ride?" He's like, "No, I called a lift." Like, cheap asshole calling a lift.
Well, and that's what I loved. I think it was Taz. Was it? It had to have been Taz. He's just like, oh, that cheapskate. I got a hoot out of that when Taz was the one laying the smackdown in that
Yeah.
department.
Yeah. But like, so it's like the AEW stuff has like stuff I like and then stuff that's just like borderline infuriating. I really like the Wardlow thing. But he brought up all the points of why we shouldn't like this. And I was so happy I just sent it to you. I said what I said. So out of the blue, now all of a sudden he's in Meat Madness.
Oh.
Like, we're supposed to know what that is. Big, strong, angry dude, muscular guy. He's in Meat Madness. Hey, those are the videos. I'm like, why is this in my search engine? Click to the next one. And then they go backstage with still nothing, no information whatsoever on Meat Madness.
Well, no. Yeah. Wardlow cuts his promo. They go to commercial, I think. They come back from commercial. Excalibur mentions the Meat Madness, but then they immediately throw it to a backstage interview that has
Yes.
with Don Callis, who, and this is the part that I didn't get. He brings it up too, but you had an interpretation that I did not get. That maybe Will Hobbs is Meat Madness now? Like, did we miss a rebranding?
Yeah, he's no. He, I think he was saying that Will Hobbs is Meat Madness, and he's in the match. They never once mentioned there was a match. All they said was he'll be in Meat Madness. Now, AEW is prone to goofy stuff. Remember, they had Jericho and MJF do a whole, like, not doo-wop, but a whole, like, crooning session.
Yeah.
So it's not beyond me that they expect him to go in some goofy-ass sketch with, like, big dudes.
Yeah, I guess I immediately, I'm like, hold on, are they just coming up with a new way to repackage Big E's concept here?
That's exactly what they're doing. They're taking Big E's, like, funny comments of big meaty men slapping meat, and they're trying to make it their own. And it doesn't work. They need to scrap that immediately. But they're, like, the hardcore AEW fans, they're going to be all over that.
Oh, yes.
They're going to love – it's called Meat Madness. They're going to love it. So it'll stick, but it's just like I always go to. They don't grow their audience because of stupid crap like this. And because, like, so you got – so Don Callis is talking about how Will Hobbs is the baddest, toughest, meatiest guy there, right?
Right.
Well, then why isn't he facing Will Hobbs? Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, no. I just drew a blank. Who's Takeshita fighting?
Will Ospreay.
Will Ospreay. Thank you. Like, it makes no sense. Like, the whole idea of Will Ospreay and Takeshita fighting makes no sense. No matter what Don Callis wants to say. It's stupid. It's short-sightedness. Unless Ospreay's like, I don't need you. And they, like, you know, turns face.
She'll
be cheered anyways.
Yeah, that seems like it would probably be the advisable route to take in this situation.
But that just means I'm going to see another Takeshita match? Ugh.
Yeah, I think he's fine, but...
That's exactly what he is. Fine.
Yeah.
There's nothing special. Chris and I talked about it, and I bitched before. He's a walking Z. Like, what did you used to call Michelle McCool?
Oh, the black hole of charisma.
Well, someone else can take up that mantle. So,
I don't know if he's reached that. Like, you've got to cut your own promos and sound terrible at it to be a true black hole.
Okay, this is what I always go back to, though. if we knew Japanese, we could say, oh, that's a terrible promo. We don't know. So it sounds like, oh, he's got some passion behind it. But he could just be stuttering the whole time. You know, I'm going to take you out back, and then I'm going to, like, Jeff Farmer, that hilariously old promo.
This is why Tony Khan doesn't put subtitles on his programming.
No, they just put Don Callis on, which is basically a walking subtitle. Just not paying attention to anything else because you're bored. Jesus. I just want that whole thing to go away. I want Will Hobbs to go on his own and actually utilize him. Because remember, he had that really good run with Wardlow, and then they turned him into QTV.
Well, and I guess that's another one where they have done absolutely nothing to get him over. After, like, they gave him that huge spot of slamming Big Show onto the limousine. And there has been absolute zero capitalization on that fact. Mm-hmm. Just none.
Yeah.
They keep on giving him... Hobbs keeps on getting fun moments and enjoyable moments, but boy...
I mean, getting paid, I guess, but
yeah,
some sustained momentum. People, a lot more people getting paid more. Speaking of momentum, you pointed out on Twitter, Ric Flair. That was the most obvious reveal ever. When he put his foot out of the car, I go, "Oh, it's Ric Flair." She goes, Huh? Trust me. And you see his other foot barely getting out of the car. You're like, it's definitely Ric Flair. And then what does he do? He's not mad at Sting, but he thought Sting's last match would be more about him. That's quintessential Ric Flair. You know what? I'm going to be serious with you. I'm going to be shoot with you. I thought I'd have more involvement in Sting's last match. Why would you? It makes no sense that you're in this corner anyways. It's just be happy that your energy drink is on the table and stop this nonsense. It's just
I don't know if it's I mean, is he going to come down with the Young Bucks and be on their side straight up? If you're, like, someone mentioned, like, maybe he comes down with Sting and Sting finally catches him for his last match ever.
Well, okay, and I'm being dead serious. I do not remember this. Maybe Chris will be better at this. Has Ric Flair ever helped Sting? He's always turned on him, but has he ever helped him?
I mean, he had to have at some point, right?
Only to get like an advantage on Sting, if possible.
Yeah, only like I feel like he had to do something to gain his trust one of those times.
I think he came to the rescue, I believe, when Arn and somebody else were beaten up on Sting. And that's how they set up that tag match where Ric Flair just comes to the ring and punches Sting in the face. So it's like, it was always like helping him was always for nefarious reasons.
Yes.
So, like, you got the Young Bucks, everyone hates them. Well, they're trying to like get him over these despicable people. But
yeah, the problem is people are like, oh, yeah, I like this character, so I'm just going to cheer. And I'm like, well, fucking A.
But it's also like, so the Young Bucks beat up Sting and his sons. And then they followed it up with Darby Allin talking about how bad they are as EVPs. Anyways.
Oh, I enjoyed his promo last week.
It didn't follow through with anything though. Like he didn't mention Sting getting like Sting's sons getting beat up. Like none of that stuff. So it was like he gets a Cody chant going. So it's like, I don't think this should have been on TV. Or like it should have been edited or something. But anyways, that's last week. This week though, and it's like, could the Young Bucks be that dumb to think like, I guess not dumb, but it's like, all right, so Ric Flair's turning on Sting only to help them win in the end. And, like, Ric Flair finally does the right thing by Sting. You know?
Yeah, that's the only outcome that makes some sense here. Like, that Ric Flair's kind of a double agent.
Yeah. So his whining about how his old ass isn't more involved in this. That's just embarrassing. Like, just imagine, like, it's my last match. And all of a sudden, your most hated rival comes out and goes, I want to be along for the ride. Get the fuck out of here. That's what Sting should have done. Leave.
And I mean, Ric Flair got the spotlight there for a couple of weeks, and I'm like, oh, I've enjoyed this build. I didn't need Ric Flair to be involved in this build.
I forgot about Ric Flair being involved until he mentioned it, and I was like, oh no. Like, because listen, and this is, there's no other polite way of saying this. Ric Flair can't go. We saw what happened when he
You saw.
Oh no. No, God, not that monstrosity. This is the more recent one. Where he got in the ring, and who's he chopping? Hobbs?
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, he can't get his leg over the middle rope to get in the ring. Like, what are we doing? And I think that was the last time we saw him, wasn't it?
Yeah. He had a hard time getting in and out of the ring.
Yes, as it should be. Like, he just goes, oh, my spot's over. Turns around, dunk, 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 dunk. Like you're playing Atari 2600.
That might be a little too recent.
Yeah, sorry. Anyone who plays it knows, like, your character's like, like, if you ever played Adventure, like, and you could soup it up on, like, high difficulty, and, like, zoom it across the screen. But if you had it on Beginner, your air ass was moving slow, and you were a square. So, but it's just, like, that stuff. And then I rather enjoyed the main event. RVD's looking better and better every time he wrestles. It's like, what are you doing, buddy? Like, good for you?
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's my problem with RVD. I'm like, what do you do with him? Like you said, like, he looks great, is wrestling pretty well, but, like, are you really going to get behind a guy who's, like, 50 or whatever? You know, like, I just have a hard time getting invested in him. Like, because, yeah, he just doesn't feel like he's going to go anywhere.
No, and it's just like, why we got another goddamn guy who's not actually in this league? Because I see Daniel Bryan, goddamn, Bryan Danielson is wrestling another Japanese guy that I have no idea who it is. And it's like, can we please just get a sustained goddamn feud going ever? And I don't know. But I enjoyed the main event. The Hangman Page fake ankle was pretty good. Yeah. Hell of a sell job.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was fake, but I was like, wow, he seems messed up. So, and now I guess it's just an angle. I don't know.
Yeah, that's what everyone seems to be reporting.
Yeah, but it's like, okay, and then FTR and the Blackpool Combat, you knew that was going to a draw. They're not giving that away free and with a decision.
Yeah, the only complaint that I had on that one, like, I want to see a match like that isn't ending like, oh, we almost had an ending at the 20-minute mark. You know, just be in the middle of a match. Just, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. I don't think.
No. But was that you or Chris that was saying it'd be nice if, like, a match just ended when they were still raring to go?
That was me.
Okay, then yeah. No, yeah. You're right. I would love that. Because it's a mental error on their part to where they weren't pressing enough, which would warrant another match. Like, oh, yeah, we need to bear down. We need to get this over with in 20 minutes. No, I love that idea.
Yeah, like, I mean, all of these guys, or not all of them, but, you know, I mean, we've seen other, you know, 30-plus, 60-minute Iron Man matches just like, we know that it can be done here. Like, I don't think anyone should be, unless they really have, like, a heavyweight slugfest type of situation, you know, you shouldn't be that gassed out in 20 minutes, especially in a tag match like that.
Yeah. I mean, they were pretty, I mean, at the end, they were going pretty hard.
Yeah, they were going pretty hard.
Okay. But I really do like the way, like, you know, especially if you have, like, a technical match or something like that, to where it's like they both look and are like, what the hell? Like, just totally lost track. So, like, their old technical prowess is garbage because they can't keep track of time. You know? But it's also, AEW also does it where, I know New Japan, they announce, like, if it's a 60-minute match, 10 minutes has gone by. 20 minutes has gone by.
Oh.
30. AEW is 5 minutes remain. ding, 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 it's over. Like,
oh, no, 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 no. They did it every minute, the last 5 minutes.
Okay, I missed that. I completely missed
Cause that, yeah, that was the one thing. Like, I feel like I pick... No, I don't pick on Tony Schiavone because he does it to himself. But...
Yeah.
But he's just like, oh, I don't even know if the wrestlers know how much time is left. And Justin Roberts had literally just finished saying there's 5 minutes left in the match. And I'm just like, motherfucker, like the whole arena heard it.
Tony's not paying attention, just like me. But it's not my job. Well, I guess it is, but so I'm not sitting there ringside. So I'm trying to figure out, was there anything else on AEW?
I think those were the highlights. Because, I mean, there was... what was the... Because they were back-to-back. Like, I liked both the matches. Oh, yeah. Because I guess I did like the Orange Cassidy-Mike Bennett match, honestly. Is a mash match. Oh, yeah. You know the one thing that is worth talking about? Just Christian Cage being the worst person on the planet is fucking hilarious.
Yeah, the whole Daniel Garcia thing, it just kind of goes what you're talking about. Sometimes he's with FTR, sometimes he's not. And then just like that whole thing, like, I'm going to win a title. Okay.
I'm doing it for Edge. And I'm like, hold on, weren't you just teaming up with FTR too? Like,
yeah.
You're not going to do it for FTR? I guess because Edge is out with an injury, so he could go film some Percy Jackson again.
Yeah, Percy Jackson too, I suppose. Yeah, no, Christian, I like Christian. I don't want anybody else there. Get rid of Mom, get rid of Nick Wayne, get rid of Luchas or Kill Switch. Peace out. I just want Christian by himself. And by the way, you were right. The feud was supposed to be Kill Switch and Christian. And I was like, no, they can still do it. He can still turn on him and, you know, be pissed off about everything else. Nah, they just dropped it all.
Oh.
Nothing. So yeah, you were totally right. Like,
no, definitely not coming anytime soon.
No. But no, Nick Wayne does nothing. I don't care how good he is.
He just looks douchey.
Yeah. But then he doesn't wrestle.
Him and Mom help keep the aesthetic of the patriarchy. You need a family there, sir.
Well, I guess having the mom there and like turning the mom, maybe it's just a wrestling trope, but then she's supposed to get like all sleazy with him. And like Nick Wayne's like, yeah, my mom's this whore now, or whatever. That's how it always works. Whenever a woman turns bad with a male wrestler, they always turn into a whore. So maybe they're just turning a new leaf. But so it's just like kind of where they just stand there. Like Christian, he doesn't need you guys.
Other than the visual aesthetic of actually having a family, evidently Christian's like, no, my wife does not want you slobbering on me, which is probably for the best considering wrestling's lurid history in that department.
Yeah. So, yeah, I it's such low-hanging fruit, and you know it's coming anyways, but it's just fun when he does it. But it's not supposed to be. And he's not. He does not want you cheering for him.
Oh, no. He does a great job of being just the most despicable that you can be.
And apparently that's what like all the wrestlers say. He's just being himself. Like, jokingly. Or not jokingly, I guess, but...
Yeah, because like anytime you're that into bringing up people's dead dads, it's something. It's almost one of those, wow, there are a lot of dead dads out there. Because that was one where, I mean, that one kind of did get not a chuckle out of me. People were like, oh, it was so brave of Sting to mention that his dad died. I'm like, his dad was probably in his 90s.
I don't know, but they're right. So, and I'm sure, well, they're not in the feud, so he's not going to mention him. But, well, someone did have the...
Because Sting, Sting is like 65 or something.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
so
yes,
I mean, his dad—he's 64. Even if his dad was 18 when he had him, he was what, 82?
86.
Yeah, 82 or 84.
What the fuck did I get? 86.
84.
All right. Yeah.
So yeah, like yeah, even if he had Sting as a very young man, he had to have been in his 80s. Like I'm like, I'm sorry, like it's, like Sting is in his 60s. Like you get to a certain age, and you know. You can't be terribly surprised that the end is upon you.
No, but it's still that, you know, that day still comes and still sucks.
Yeah,
unless
it sucks.
Unless your parents suck, and then it's like, whatever. Peace the fuck out.
This is a valid point.
But, yeah, trust me, that's off air. nothing you don't know. But
yeah.
But yeah, so again, a hit and miss show, another weirdly mic'd crowd. I couldn't tell if they were really into stuff,
or
if they were quiet, or like you know, any of that.
I didn't notice one way or the other this week.
Yeah, no, I thought it was mic'd weird. It, like in places it peaked when it didn't seem like it would, but whatever. But, I mean, I know we got to cover a little bit of AEW at least, because...
You mean NXT?
Yeah.
You just said AEW.
Well, you messed me up. You did that in text. So, that's my return on the show.
Yeah, at least I didn't screw up for everyone to hear.
yeah. But I was also like, oh, is that what it's like trying to read one of my texts? Okay, cool.
Oh, man.
Never mind. I need a jitterbug. One of those old people phones with the giant buttons. Then maybe my text would come out correctly. My stupid fat fingers just smacking everything.
Oh
out.
My gosh. I remember that was one of those to go back to the beginning a little bit, one of those hockey moments where the people in the row in front of me, I'm like, oh my god. I don't know what I'm going to do when I'm that age. Like, the font was so big on their phone that I could read it clearly over their shoulder. Like, my eyes are not great, sir. That is some huge font.
Yeah. But a font doesn't help me. I need the keyboard.
Giant keyboard.
Yeah, I need, like... God, a BlackBerry would have been a disaster for me. So, but anyways, NXT, boy, what a weird show this was, because there was some really good stuff on there, and there certainly wasn't.
Well, you know, the whole time, honestly, they were still talking about Shotzi and Lyra the whole show, and I'm like,
yeah.
Huh, I was like... Does Shotzi get injured during this match? I was like, does it happen after the match? And I'm like, I was just like, oh, this was not what I was expecting, where she gets injured mid-match and then Ava comes out and she's like, hey, yeah, we promised everyone a main event, so we're going to give them a main event. It's just like, huh? Like, that was... a pretty strange way to have things happen.
Yeah, why are we doing this? Because I knew she was hurt.
Yeah.
And I knew it was during the match, so it's like, are they really going through with this? I thought they would have reformatted the show so that it was in the middle. And then had Last Legend come out later, but... Yeah, it was an odd way of handling it.
Yeah, I mean, it made some sense where at least both of the women had been in matches already. So there wasn't that much of an advantage one way or the other.
Yeah.
But yeah, like just another match and it's not a squash match, I guess. Just because, you know, clearly you do not have Lash Legend win earlier in the night only to have her lose.
Yeah.
You know, later that evening. So.
And it's like, and I couldn't believe how Shotzi got hurt. Of all the insane things she's done, the botches, the misses, the real risks she takes,
Yeah.
simply jumping to the floor? That's it?
It falls under the whole. Adam Cole did the same thing where you're like, hold on, you just came down to the ringside and you completely mutilated your ankle.
I figure she dove over the top rope and smashed into the barrier or something.
Oh,
No,
right. No, yeah.
just jumped out.
Yep, just jumped down from the apron. That was, and I that was one thing that stood out to me too. And I'm like, oh my God, you gotta be kidding me. Like, this is the way that she goes out?
Of
Like,
all people, her. We've seen what she's done, and she was fine. It's crazy to me. But that's really how it works most of the time. It's something simple.
oh yeah, it is not always a profound, like, oh yeah, their knee just bent backwards 90 degrees the wrong direction.
Yeah, didn't like, right, so Ridge Holland injuring Big E, that was a mistake. But
Oh.
then when Ridge Holland got hurt in NXT, wasn't that just a simple like suicide dive and his knees just blew out? Like his ankle broke and his knee blew out?
Yeah, he was catching someone from a suicide dive.
Just something simple.
Yeah.
And well, it's so complex, don't get me wrong, but they didn't jump over the top rope, did an 850 splash into a Hoonakarana with a pile driver. It was like, no, he just went to catch him. It's like that happens all the time.
Yeah, it was just a regular suicide dive that he was supposed to catch someone, and it catastrophically went awry. That man has not had a whole lot of luck.
No, not really. But, well, sometimes you rush people, and that's what happens. But sometimes things just happen. A
Yeah.
la Shotzi. Well, yeah, like that was the one thing that stood out. Just like I'm with you, like building for that match when I knew it wasn't going to happen.
Yeah, I guess
So,
because like I had seen that she had had surgery, so I was aware that the match had been recorded. But I was just like, "Huh, this is really like the whole show." I mean, they started building it up fairly early in the show. I'm like, "Man, this is kind of strange that this is what's going on here." And yeah, that's how it is. So I mean, because it kind of started the show and went throughout the whole show, I had a hard time not talking about that. Like, that was just wild.
but it was nice that it was Lash Legend. She's not that good, but at least I knew who she was. Unlike countless other women on this show. Okay, maybe this is my fault. Who
Yeah.
the hell was hanging out with JC Jane and
Oh.
was that Tatum Paxley?
Thea Hale.
Where did she come from? I think she's been around,
Yeah,
but
she's been around during the calendar selling era here.
yes. I'm like, who is this? And then they go, oh, it's Rice and Beans. Like, oh, okay. I'm not gonna remember that name, clearly. And then she's like a focal point of the angle. I'm like, where did this bitch come from? What's going on?
Yeah, like, oh, okay. Yeah, 'cause I guess it's just been a weird spot where you kind of knew that something was up with the JC and Thea connection. But that's another one where I feel like there's a, I don't know if it's a step missed. Yeah, it's probably only really a step missed somewhere where I feel like you need something more than a bad Valentine's date to like confirm JC Jane is evil now.
Okay, now, she's always in the ring been kind of the bad guy. Because remember, she helped Chase U win. So that part I kind of see, but it was like the other girl interfering in it. And, like, she's the bad girl. It's like, okay. Because backstage, JC Jane was, like, kind of on, like, the guy's side. She's like, well, I was on my phone, so I wasn't doing this. And she's like, no.
Jasmine Nix.
Sure. So, anyways, she's telling her, she's like, I'm not going to remember that name.
It's going to take me a while.
Yeah. So, but, like, everything Thea was saying, she was like, "That no, that's wrong." And then she goes, yeah, and then I want to be on my phone, so I didn't make myself easily available to him. And the line of the night is JC Jane goes, that is not what I meant. I laughed heartily at that one because that was so sincere. Like, no, don't spread your leg. Like, ugh. Like, she couldn't say it. So that, like, that little, like, smugness about, like, ugh, children. Like, I loved it. Like, I thought that was great. And then the other girl, whatever her name was, Stevie Nicks, is just sitting there going, that's it. She's not even saying anything. Like, quit. Just please, like, stop. Like, they had the whole thing with, oh, no. The business chick. That's not a business chick anymore.
Kiana James?
Okay, I was, yes. I'm getting so lost with all these people that even people I do know, I just forget their names now. You've got her with the blonde chick going against the little chick. The end. I'm like,
yeah.
We gotta slow down, man. We gotta slow, just leave them in the locker room. We make them wear name tags for a while.
I'm trying to find out where, because it is wild how many women's matches there are on NXT.
More than AEW.
Although, well, I've mentioned it, I guess because NXT has so many women's matches, I'm never surprised that they're back-to-back women's matches. But AEW has had this weird habit where they only have two women's matches and then they have them back-to-back. And they did it again on Dynamite. Because that's... Yeah, Deonna Purrazzo came down right after Tony Storm's match.
Tony Storm. Yeah. Oh, it's always rare for me when AEW has more than one women's match on Dynamite, for sure.
They've been doing it. I noticed it. I've watched the last couple of collisions, and it's been the same. And it's also been, not only has it been back-to-back women's matches, it's been the back-to-back matches and then the main event. Like, they've slotted them in, like, the same time slot. You know, and not, like, move them around the show at all. So, that's... But, yeah, the... because, yeah, Roxanne and Ren Sinclair was one match.
Who?
Yeah, Ren Sinclair, sir.
Yes, her. So,
yep, JC Jane and Ariana Grace. Because I was trying to look for... What was the that's other right. name that we were... looking for here, the other women's name.
Kiana James and those two. Which I should really know the other girl's name. She's been around for a little bit, but it's just, you're inundated with people. We've talked about before.
They are definitely in a phase of bringing in a bunch of new people right now.
But then other people just disappear too. Now, I know there's injuries, too, but, like, where the hell is Nikita Lyons? Where's Blair Davenport? Like, where are all these people? And then I got these faceless people. You know what I mean? Like...
Yeah, I don't know what happened with that. Because I feel like I saw Nikita Lyons pop up online somewhere. But Blair Davenport keeps a pretty low profile when she's not out there. So I'm not quite sure what's going on with her at the current moment.
Yeah. I know, like, Wendy Chu's hurt still. Sal Roca's still hurt.
Well, she is just coming back because I did see that she was tweeting about being out on one of their live shows around, NXT, or yeah, NXT somewhere.
Yeah, but it's like you got these people, especially introducing Nikita Lyons again and not using her. No, like, what are we doing? Unless she's just not clear, which is fine. Then don't rush her back. You know.
Oh, yeah, that's one where it's just like, I've got no idea what's going on there. Like, because that did seem like they were in, they were, it seemed like, she came back from the injury and they were ready to push her, and then she didn't really get pushed.
Yeah. So I don't know. Unless they're trying to streamline stuff for later and maybe have some big returns for Stand and Deliver or something. But it's just weird to me, that's all. So, and then to have these other people who are just kind of blending in, which is the problem. They're all blending in. But, and like even the men kind of disappear too. It's like, where's Hank the Tank?
They broke up a fight the other week, I think, backstage.
No, between Brooks and Jensen.
Oh, yep.
Which, by the way, that match was awesome. Those two just beat the hell out of each other. And it's like, oh, okay. Here we go. Like, finally.
Yeah, that was a fun one. And Jensen's character did need some type of progression. And I honestly didn't mind the... Because who was Fallon Henley ready to go out drinking with? Was another... Oh, Thea yeah. Hale, actually. Yeah.
Okay, so as much as my complaining goes, that was actually kind of not touching, but natural. Like, yeah, I'm having a bad day. It's like, yeah, we've known each other a while. You want to go out? Yeah.
Yeah, like, I've had a shitty day too. Like, my two best friends were fighting each other, and I lost the matchup that I was in. Like, not a great day here either.
Exactly. So it's like, you want to go out and get something? Yeah, sure. And then, so now, is like, she going to come back as like a country girl, which would be kind of funny.
Or you can at least tell that they seem to want to extend the Riley Osborne, Thea Hale stuff. So I would imagine that she's at least going to take another route to, try to woo Riley.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it's like, all right, that's cool. But to go back, the Jensen and Brooke, like that was good.
Yeah, it was a good hard hitting match. And I mean, I did like that, Brooks. Briggs. Briggs is just like, that's what I wanted out of you. He's like, we had a good ass kicking match. Like, you stood up for yourself. Like, that's all I was asking for here.
Which would be hilarious.
Like, I'm trying not to be a dickhead here. Like, I'm just trying to get you to, like, stand, do your own thing.
Yeah, well, it's funny because it'd be great if they, like, went out drinking together afterwards, ran into Fallon and Thea, and, like, Jensen ends up tagging Thea. And they both lose it. Like, they're kind of make her out to, like, be a virgin, too. So it's like, they both go out celebrate and get tagged and, like, tag each other. Like, that'd be pretty funny.
Oh, that would be a good way to go.
Yeah,
I don't think that's gonna happen, but that would be pretty funny.
No, I think it'd be funny, but yeah. So, and then what else was on the show? Oh, Chase U and all that was fine. And then I guess they realized, Anderson and Gallows don't do anything, so let's send them to NXT.
Yeah, that's one where I'm like, they've had the main WWE roster. That tag division is trash. The NXT tag division, I'm like, oh yeah, they have a bunch of fun teams down here. Sign me up for Gallows and Anderson wrestling them.
Yeah, that's fun.
You know, and kind of speak. Speaking of the tag division, just because, I mean, there's not much more to say. Like, I just hope that Gallows and Anderson are, you know, next in the long line of, you know, main roster people that have come down for a short stint to help out the younger people.
And it's funny.
They seem perfect for that role.
Yeah. And we were talking last week about the family. Like, they all lost. None of them were on the show this week.
Huh? Well, no, they had their segment too.
Did I miss it?
Evidently, yeah.
What was their segment?
Because Tony was like, "Hey, you might not like this, but we're not going back after the tag championships." And I'm like, "Yeah, Tony D needs some singles championship here, people."
I missed that totally.
Yeah, because he was talking to the Riz and Stax at the. You know, family table, sipping a little espresso. And, yeah, he said they needed to get back to, you know, he needs to get back to being the Don of NXT. And to me, that means singles championship. And yeah. I agree with that.
Yes. I wouldn't mind seeing some dragging off matches with him. Hell yeah.
Yeah, those two can beat the hell out of each other. Sure. I'm already signed up.
Oh God, yeah. Like let Tony D'Angelo be like the amateur wrestler he was, or wrestler against. Yeah, that sounds pretty awesome, actually.
Yeah,
and then, yeah. So no, I totally miss that.
That's yeah, because I think that was the only other thing that I was going to talk about. Because I think we've covered pretty much everything else that was on NXT there.
Well, outside of the Spear of Days, is that the name you want to call it? The Wolf Dogs.
No.
I'm curious how this is going to end. Because Braun just signed the main roster deal. They made a big deal out of it.
Yeah. That was one of the more curious things in the past week. Because I thought that they were just going to stretch it out a little bit more. Like him signing on the main roster. I felt like he was going to play the Raw and SmackDown sides a little bit longer while they had the tag championships, and then he would decide afterwards. But they're not going that route, you know? I mean, he's signed to SmackDown, and we'll see what ends up happening here. But, I mean, I don't see anyone beating them anytime soon. I don't know what, you know, like, I guess Gallows and Anderson could beat them if they want to go that route.
That's what I was wondering, but that, I mean, I understand why they do it, but it seems kind of counterproductive to have the main roster guys come down to take the tag titles off of them when they could be working with someone, a junior team, who could go on to...
Yeah, those two really do not need to be worked with.
No.
Yeah.
No, I think that's fairly clear.
Yeah, it feels like someone like either Chase U or something, OTM or something, are kind of more deserving of being the ones that take the championships off of the Wolf Dogs.
Yep. So, but yeah, the show was up and down. Like, some of the matches are bad. Or just like, all right, whatever, let's get on with this. And some of this stuff's like, it's all right. But they didn't have anything egregious. I think the biggest, like, what the hell are they doing was promoting a match that we know was not going to go on.
Yeah, and that's why I had to lead with that one. Like, it was just such a weird choice of what to do there. Like, just cut it out of the, you know, like have Lyra wrestle a different match.
Yeah.
Like it feels, again, like Shotzi had posted on Instagram about her ACL injury. Like, oh, well, maybe it's just because I watched it late that I had seen her post before actually seeing the match. But yeah, still just a weird, weird choice to make. Weird choice to make. Like, hey, she's injured. Hey, we're going to continue with, but a different match. Okay. Still weird.
Yeah.
Okay. Not weird. Bell Time beer. I do believe you're actually consuming one down there today.
Yeah, I got
this
as a gift from you. From Hoofhearted Brewing, excuse me. And they are they Columbus?
Technically, their original home and still home is Marengo, Ohio, which is up near Mount Vernon, a little northeast of Columbus by about 30 minutes.
Oh, yeah, so I'm drinking the Permanent Marker Pen Disguises. The can's interesting. Is that Post Malone on here, or are these the Brewers?
Yes, that is Post Malone on there, along with other faces.
That's I'm trying to figure out who some of these other faces are. I'm guessing one is Nicolas Cage.
Yes, I believe one is Nicolas Cage.
One looks kind of looks like Robert Daltrey. I really don't know who some of these people are, but it doesn't matter. It's a double dry hop pale ale, and god damn, it was good. It smells great, and the flavor was almost on par with the smell. So it's a winner, and if you're ever near there, I grab some.
Yes, Hoofhearted, they do have a location here in Columbus, so, and I do believe they sell all over the state because my brother-in-law who lives in Dayton is quite fond of them also. Yeah. So yes, should one find themselves near a Hoofhearted beer, I would suggest grabbing it. They have quite a number of good ones. Mine was from Pennsylvania today. Levity Brewing is one that it started in, let me confirm, yep, Indiana, Pennsylvania. But now they have a satellite brew pub in the fine city of Altoona, Pennsylvania. And that's where my younger brother picked this one up. Levity Brewing Medulla Oblongata IPA, and yeah, it was really, really tasty, just a normal IPA. Yeah, light citrus bite, softer, but not a softy, and I agree with that. So, you know, it's a kind of a classic IPA, a little balance of fruitiness, a little bit of bitterness, and a whole lot of good hop flavor in there. So, yeah, if you wander into the great state, or I shouldn't say state because it's not a state, the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, Levity Brewing is a good one. I've had a couple of good beers from them. So this is not the first one. So, yeah. Do that. That is the Bell Time beer suggestion from @DeFrango11. His suggestion was from @GrannyMaze. The brand is @StuntGranny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Download us at any other locations like Spotify, iHeartRadio, or Amazon. Have a good night, grandkids.
Later, gang.